Everybody, I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports News Update. NBA rumors and reports running rampant today. It's crazy. Kawhi Leonard will grant a meeting with the LA Lakers once free agency begins June 30th. This, according to Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports. The forward also slated meet with the Clip joint early in free agency. It was reported July 2nd. It appears the Lakers will be able to make a major signing when free agency begins. After all, Anthony Davis is going to waive his $4 million trade kicker in his move to LA. This, according to Woj from ESPN. The decision will make the Lakers have $32 million in cap space this offseason, enabling them to sign a max player. And they also unloaded a package of three players to the Washington Wizards. Still with LA, LeBron also apparently going to give AD his number 23 jersey. No word on LeBron's new number, but many are speculating he'll go back to the number 6 he wore with the Miami Heat. The Boston Celtics might have found a replacement for Kyrie Irving. Boston considering now the favorite and frontrunner to land point guard Kemba Walker when free agency kicks off on Sunday. This, according to Woj again, the Celtics will offer Walker a 4-year deal worth $141 million, the max he can receive from any other team other than the Charlotte Hornets. In order to top the cap space there to sign Kemba, Boston can renounce its rights to restricted agent Terry Rozier. According to Woj, Rozier's cap hold on Boston right now is $9.1 million. Negotiations between Walker and his current team, the Hornets, are still, they hit a stalemate there. Walker, a three-time All-Star, averaging 25.6 points to go along with 5.9 assists and 4.4 boards. He was the ninth overall pick from UConn back in 2011. As for Klay Thompson, he's expected to immediately re-sign with the Golden State Warriors if offered the 5-year, $190 million max deal when the two sides meet after free agency begins. Thompson suffered an ACL tear in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. He'll likely miss most or all of next season. The 29-year-old shooting 41.9% from three-point land and averaging 21.5 points. He was also spotted on crutches today at Space Jam 2 set. This according to TMZ Sports. He's everywhere. LA Clippers guard Patrick Beverley set for an unrestricted free agency meeting and is seeking a 3-year deal worth more than $40 million. This according to ESPN. The Clippers are interested in re-signing Beverley, though, while the Dallas Mavericks, Lakers again, and the Chicago Bulls are among the suitors, according to reports. Bad news for the New York Yankees. Giancarlo Stanton's second season in the Bronx has hit another roadblock. The injured Yankees outfielder not expected to return to the club until August. This from Yankees general manager Brian Cashman today. The 29-year-old Stanton placed on the 10-day IR Wednesday after suffering a right knee sprain on a headfirst slide Tuesday versus the Blue Jays. It's his second stint on the IL after he missed more than 2 months with a bicep, shoulder, and calf injuries before the latest setback. The four-time All-Star has appeared in just 9 games this year since being acquired by New York before the 2018 campaign, Stanton hitting .267 with 39 bombs and 170 RBIs in 167 games. Lots of live action today. Let's take a look at this one. We got Philadelphia up 1-0, top of 9 against the Mets. The Mets have a runner on. Texas and Detroit, Rangers leading 3-1, top bottom 9 there, one runner on, 2 out. Pittsburgh and Houston, Pirates all over the struggling Astros, 7-0, bottom 5, Seattle and Milwaukee. The Brew Crew up 4-2, bottom 6, Tampa and Mini tied at 2, top 7, Atlanta and the Cubs, seesaw battle, Braves now up 6-4, top of 5, rest of the MLB sched 7-10, Washington minus 200 at Miami, 7.5, Strasburg versus Alcantara, 8:40 action, Dodgers minus 220 at Colorado, 11.5, Bueller versus Lambert, 9:45, and we just have a live home run from the New York Mets to take a 2-1 lead on the Philadelphia Phillies. Shocking stuff there, 9:45. Arizona at the Giants, pick 'em 8.5, Young versus Beattie, 10:07, Oakland at the Angels, Halos minus 165, 9.5, it's Anderson versus Canning, Women's World Cup of Soccer knockout round, England all over Norway, they lead 2-0 at the half. Round one of the PGA's Rocket Mortgage Classic from Detroit, Nick Lashley went crazy low today, he's in the clubhouse at minus 9, Charles Howell, Taylor Gooch, 2 shots back at 7-under, favorites not doing well. Tournament favorite Dustin Johnson, 2-over, and Gary Woodland, the Open, the winner of the last major in golf. He is 5-over right now. Ricky Fowler in the clubhouse, 4-under. CFL football tonight, Edmonton at Winnipeg. The Blue Bombers, minus 5.5 point favorites. Total is 56. I'm Cam Stewart. Stay tuned for Red Heat and Rage Radio with me and host Gabe Morenci. We'll talk Big Ten football with Mark Lawrence and go through our best bets, some CFL, MLB, NBA, and a whole lot more. So stick around. It's hour one of Red Heat and Rage on the Fantasy Sports and Radio Television Network, coming up now.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
When All right, we live. Back to live action, fellas. We roll Game Time Division. Red Heat Rage, our radio has begun. Fantasy Sports, our radio network. I am Gable Morenci, throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. We got Mark Lawrence joining us. We're going to be throwing a lot of curveballs today. Will Capper can't join us. I think, like we said, like he's monitoring earthquakes and stuff like that. And seems to be a lot of stuff going on in California. He's in meetings. He's in meetings until about 5 o'clock Eastern. We were going to get him on a little bit later on, but we decided it was not meant to be this afternoon with Will Capper. And poor Mark Lawrence, we bounced him yesterday. I told Mark, all right, Mark, 5:09. And, you know, Mark takes his football seriously because he said, all right, we'll just do the East Division so we don't have to rush through the teams.
Nice.
So
nice,
a Big Ten East. So I said, all right, 5:09. And then Will Capper says, yeah, I can't. I got to reschedule. So I told Mark Lawrence, all right, how's 4:23? We've thrown a couple of curveballs to Mark, but Lawrence is always ready to go. So we'll get Mark Lawrence on in about 20 minutes time. We'll talk some Big Ten football. We have CFL football on the board here this evening. Major League Baseball going on right now. That big Women's World Cup game tomorrow, the USA and France. But really, you know, I'm caught up in NBA free agency, and I'm starting to get angry. There's a lot of bad takes out there.
I think it's an absolute joke, actually. And this is the way sports are going now. So, we're talking. LeBron is talking to Kawhi, and he's going to stop off at the Lakers before he sees the Clippers. And now they got $32 million. And Kemba Walker, Celtics, is just blah, 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 blah. I'll believe it when it actually happens. And honestly, there's so much collusion going on in the NBA right now. It's disgusting. Like, why don't you just make all-star team? We'll have two or three good teams. Everybody else will suck. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. That's the way these players seem to want it.
Well, you know what? Because a lot of these players pretty much are spineless.
Yeah.
They're spineless.
I'd agree
They're
with
gutless.
That. Yeah, they don't want to work hard for anything. Hey,
exactly.
Super teams.
Exactly.
God forbid I have to help a rookie work out. God forbid this veteran on my team is working his ass off. He could actually do something for your damn
or,
team.
Or, God
I'm
forbid.
I'm tired of it.
Like the Raptors. Like the Raptors, you go through their growing pains as a team.
Yes. That's called
you know
life.
What I mean? It's
life's
like, yeah,
roofing.
We're not going to win in 2-3 years. We're going to battle through this. We're going to climb the ladder, and one day we're going to win. You know what I mean? It's like, they all wanted to give it to them. You're right. They just all wanted to give it to them. I'll join this team.
I'm doing these reports to do the news updates for our show, and it's just disgusting reading these reports. It's the same old guys, LeBron James, too. Isn't there like I don't hear anybody in the NHL. Have you heard Sidney Crosby? You know what? I'm going to call Nathan MacKinnon over to my team, and we're going to create a super team in Pittsburgh.
And you know what, Cam? They're best friends.
Do it.
They're best friends, even.
I know. They're doing Tim Hortons commercials together. They're riding Zambonis together.
Yeah.
They could have done.
And he doesn't say, hey, bro, you're wasting your time in Colorado.
I'm so sick of the NBA right now. Like, God, man. It's insane.
You know what? It makes me like Damian Lillard even more.
I agree with you.
He said, I'm not going anywhere. He goes, I'll win a title in Portland one day. He said, you'll see.
Damn right.
I'll win here.
It'll taste better.
You know? He's got tunnel vision. Yeah, we get to LeBron changing numbers now.
Yeah. Ooh, we're sick. Who cares?
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's Red Heat Rage, our radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Gable Morenci, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, fired up today. And I'll get you more fired up, Cam. We haven't even gotten to Lou Williams' comments yet.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I saw him. Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I tweeted you back. Sorry, Lou. Oh, okay. So I work for this company. I'm one of the only Canadian employees. It's pretty simple. They mail you a check, and you go to the bank, you moron. Here's another thing. Milk comes in bags. Figure it out. Oh, the cable package. I can't get the games. Really? Oh, okay. I was here for four. I miss home. Boo-hoo. Whatever, man. I know. Yeah. I'm with you, Morency. I'm done. Grown men. You guys are a joke. Children.
Yeah, Lou Williams. Lou Williams has been on like seven teams already, Cam. I tweeted at Lou Williams. I said, don't worry, Lou. Every NBA team feels the same way that you do about Toronto. Yeah, no, they like you for the first 4 months, and then they want you gone. And, and I actually tweeted at him.
That's
and it's like, it's true. It's true with Lou Williams. At first, you're like, man, this guy's great. Hitting threes. He's a funny guy. He's a nice guy.
And he disappeared.
And I swear to God, I remember like when he was a Raptor. I'm like, God, this guy's bad. He doesn't care. Like, he just hits a couple of threes. Like, he plays no defense. Like, there's, like I said, I tweeted. I said, bro, there's a reason why you've been on like five teams in the last 3 years already. You know what I mean? Like, Lou Williams is one of these guys where you're like, wow, he's pretty good. Look, he scores like 22 points, yet every year he's on a new team. Right? It's sort of like that Isaiah Thomas dude. You know, it's like, yeah, he seems pretty good. And, you notice one by one, people are like, yeah, we can't play him. Like, yeah, you know, we like him. We thought we could, but we just can't. And you know, Lou Williams isn't at that point. But listen, I'm not going to take
it's an ignorant statement, too. Like, in the billboard, you know, Toronto is in Canada. Like, shut up. Like, I'm so sick and tired of this crap. Like, really? Like, you think your life is so much better? Like, really? Okay. But anyway, yeah.
Well, Kev, I've lived in Toronto and I've lived in Los Angeles. Toronto is better than Los Angeles. Like, I've lived in both cities. Like, Los Angeles is nice in Beverly Hills, and the rest of it is pretty much a dump.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You know, hey, let's just be real. Like, so
I'll tell it the way it is, too, and it's very simple. You talk to a lot of NBA players, Gabe. You've had guys on the show before. It's nothing about Toronto. It's about a lot of the time it's taxes. If they had any way, and I don't know if the government can figure out some kind of thing that they can weave in to make it a little more attractive that way, there would be a hell of a, like, people would be lining up to play in places like this. Hell, even Montreal, for example, you know, it's a beautiful city. It's just, I'm so sick and tired of people ragging on it all the time, and then they don't even know what the hell they're talking about. So I think a lot of the comments are very ignorant, to be honest with you. I just want to ask you, how did things go yesterday at the meeting? The moderator. I'm usually the inputter. You're the moderator.
Oh, you know, it was an experience. Nice venue. Nice venue. Like I said, pretty the nicest room we've ever done. You know what I mean? It was very professionally run with stage managers and clocks and timers and all that. But yeah, essentially it was a room and a hall with about, I don't know, 1,000. What's the word I'm looking for here? Tools, douches. Douchebags, wannabes,
potential investors,
assholes,
fools, jerks.
Yeah. Well, let's be real. Generally, rich people
like
are pretty much jerks, right? Like, yeah.
Some are.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't hanging around after. Like, I left right after.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. My little go out for beers idea was just that was in theory, so it just didn't wasn't very practical, but. Yeah, I got a lot of anger today. I woke up, my car broke down on Dundas Street. I almost got just died right in the middle of the street. That was fun. It's 100 degrees outside, walking around trying to get a tow. It's got a lot of problems, Gabe. That's why I got a deal on it. Yeah,
paper lock.
At a dealership right now. I got a message from the guy. It's probably going to cost about $1,500. I say, don't touch one thing till I talk to you because that's a lot of money. And then I went out to fire up some chops on the grill. My barbecue didn't work.
You're talking pretty fast here. We gotta slow you down.
So
your car broke down, and what, you had to call a tow? So your car is like in a garage now, but you told them don't try to fix it because you don't want to pay $1,500.
Correct. I said I got a radio show to do. You know, you could tell me an estimate. I'll come down and walk and meet you tomorrow morning when they close at 7 o'clock. When we finish the show, I need to have a personal conversation because I'm not going to give an okay to the work at $1,500. We might have to do one job at a time. You know, what's the most, how do I get this thing running? And then we'll work from there, Gabe. Points, like, you know, 1A.
Yeah, I hear you, yeah.
B. Yeah, and then I fired up my barbecue and it didn't work today. It was just, you know, and then I read these reports in the NBA. It's just one of those days, it's my anger. I was angry to begin with and it's just festering. Like, I want to smash things right now. And I have the Phillies, and they pissed away a lead, too. I need it for a parlay. Like, baseball's just unreal. Anyway, I hope you're doing better.
Frustrating.
It's very streaky. Very streaky. Like, we're on fire, Gabe. A lot of 5-1 nights, and then you have that one day where nothing works, and it hurts. You know, it's a balancing act. But golf's going really well right now, so hopefully we can somebody shows up on Sunday, which would be nice. Now these Thursday Warriors.
All right. So, you know what? I'm with you, though. I'm fired up because of Lou Williams now.
I'm the same way
in which, like, dude, you don't even play defense. You've been on six teams already. And you know what? You didn't mind banging chicks in Toronto, did you? Right? Like, it's the same crap all the time. Basically, listen, I get it. It's cold. But it's also cold in Chicago. It's also cold
Milwaukee, Indiana.
Yeah, it's I know places. But you notice, though, guys like Lou Williams, and he's a prototypical NBA player, Cam. He doesn't care about winning. He cares about being in the sun and banging chicks. Right? That's what it comes down to. It doesn't come down to, yeah, I don't really care. I want to be on a good team. Right? You know, like... do you ever hear people complain about the weather being bad on the New England Patriots?
No.
How many New England Patriots, like, has Tom Brady ever said, you know what?
Man, excellent point.
I'm from California, and as Tom Brady is from California. Tom Brady said, I'm from California. You know, I've won here. I got a supermodel wife. I live in California in the off season. You know what? I'm going to go to California here just, you know, because. No. He's in a winning situation,
and I remember asking Tom. Yeah,
I remember asking Tom Brady Senior. I said, you know, because remember Tom Brady's father said a couple of years ago that Tom Brady's going to play till he's 45, and he doesn't think like the Patriots probably won't want him till he's 45. So I said, you know, Tom grew up a San Francisco 49er fan. He went to games with you. Would he ever play for the San Francisco 49ers? And he goes, I stopped being a season ticket holder for the San Francisco 49ers when they didn't draft Tom.
Yeah,
he said, Tom will never play for the San Francisco 49ers.
I love
said,
that
we
attitude.
Hate, said, we hate the San Francisco 49ers. That's why he's a winner, bro.
He is a winner.
You know what I mean? Oh, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to call. Let me call. I'm going to call Odell Beckham and say, bro, we should start a team, and like, I'm going to jump around. No, because he's a winner. He doesn't care about the weather. Did Brett Favre care about the weather? No, he embraced it, right? So you get these people. Yeah. It's the same people, Cam. I just see a tweet right now and a story on whatever, Therese Owens, these sites. James Harden right now posting pictures with some Instagram model that he's with. Good for you, James. Hey, I'm not saying have fun. And, you know, I'm not saying hook up. I mean, you know, if you can. But it seems like that's all he does. That's his life. Like, during the playoffs even, bro. It's like, oh, Instagram models in between games, and here he is right now. You know what I mean? Like, he's not, like, you know, plotting to make the Rockets better. He's bitching on Twitter about he's not the MVP, and he's partying in the Caribbean or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll never win either. Like, James Harden's never going to win, right? Like, we know this. He's got a great life. I'm not saying he's a loser in real life, but... Oh, he doesn't have the winning mentality. And
he doesn't have the killer instinct.
A lot of these guys, exactly. They're more interested in the lifestyle than they are winning.
Got to hand it to Brady. You said it, man. You get to go to sleep with a beautiful woman every night. You have all the money in the world. You have all the championships in the world. What do you want? Another one. Respectable. I'm not a Patriot fan, but I love that.
All right, we're going to continue this on the other side because Lou Williams said... a lot of dumb things. Game time decisions.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, let's roll. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio. Cam Stewart all fired up today. And, you know, last night I watched I was watching some Simpsons online, got the great episode in which Homer chased Flanders away from being the coach of the football team. And he made Bart the starting quarterback. And Bart was like, I need a miracle to learn how to be a quarterback. And then Joe Namath pulled up.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Namath sees Bart. Yeah. You know, just remember what I told you. Vapor lock. It's the third largest cause of car stallage.
I think I got vapor lock. It's a good.
Yeah,
that's
what I was going to say. Maybe vapor lock. Mark Lawrence steps up and joins us. Playbook.com. Coach Lawrence, what's going on, Mark? How you doing today?
I'm going through my playbook right now, guys, kind of getting ready for the football season, and glad to be with you guys on a Thursday this week.
Yeah, we appreciate
Mark.
It. I did a conference yesterday in New York, Mark. It was about betting, actually. It was sport betting. I was with the vice president of FanDuel, the chief officer of the National Hockey League, and the head of Sport Radar, which provides all the data and the stats to the sports leagues. So some industry heavyweights. I can tell you really basically the gist of it is 5G is the real game changer. 5G technology that you often hear about, 5G network, but we're still like a year or two away from this stuff for real. But basically like live, you know, that internet, I don't know if it's 100 times faster, but I think in that range. And the internet's already pretty fast, guys, but it's like exponentially faster. I think it's like 100 times faster or so. So like think from a live in-game perspective, it's already pretty quick, but now, you know, in the future, you'll be able to really bet on, you know, is the next play a pass or a run? You know, is it how many yards going to be? Is it going to be this or that? Like, you know, like you're going to get into, instead of just next score, sort of next play.
QB1 territory.
Yeah. So it's really live, right? Like real live in-game betting. And the NHL, he was talking about how the NHL has this thing that they developed was actually for the teams. So they could get information themselves, data and analysis, is like it's called the player tracker. So the camera just focuses in basically on only that player and provides like awesome instant data and stats for that player. So they were talking about how in the near future you're going to be able to bet cam on like who's going to have the hardest shot of the shift.
That's wicked.
Like, you know what I mean? Or like the fastest slap shot of the first period. You can track like how fast everyone's skating. Who's going to be the fastest skater in the period? Like, so very just more like the amount of props, Mark, in the future with this 5G technology. And I can't even like put it in the words like how many there's going to be and exponential options. But listen, you've been doing this longer than me, Mark. But I actually remember when I remember betting, like hearing about halftime betting for the first time, second half lines. Like, I guess you've seen a lot of new props been added over the years, Mark.
Yeah, a lot of props. And I'm just wondering here, Gabe, with what you mentioned about 5G technology and how it's going to ramp up sports wagering, especially in-game wagering here. I had a conversation with Jake Cornegay, and I was talking to him a little bit about horse racing and why they don't do horse racing here like they do in Europe, where there are fixed odds on horses, where if you bet a horse at 8-1, you're going to get paid at 8-1.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And his answer was really rather simple. He says, right now, the Parimutuels does the work for us. If we did odds on horses, I'd have to ramp up my staff here. I'd have to put a new staff on just to do all that. So there's that side of the coin. So if you get into these types of props that you're talking about with 5G wagering, I'm just wondering if these sports books are going to be able to support the bevy of props that they'll end up wanting to post in these games.
Only if you will, and that's what will separate.
Gabe, that's why horse racing's suffering. That's why it's suffering. Like, you know how frustrating it is to get a horse at 6-1, Mark, and he goes off at even money on these small tracks? And it happens all the time. Like, you talk to guys in Vegas, and Gabe, you know, you go to the Meadowlands. It's a real problem.
It's a big problem, guys. I go to the track every Saturday, and like you mentioned, Cam, you can have a horse, and I never play chalk when it comes to horses. And you can like a horse real well, and he could be 6-1, 5-1. He goes off, and you're watching the race, and suddenly it flashes 5-2, and then it goes to even money. I mean, you see, my God, I'd have never bet this horse at this price.
Exactly.
You know?
And one thing we will say, though, about the future is people, Mark, you're right, it'll be a challenge, but that's what will separate certain operations in gaming books, etc. And honestly, everything will be artificial intelligence anyways, right? I mean,
sure.
The fat Tonys are going to be a thing of the past. They already sort of are. There's a few odds makers left, but it's really just computer algorithms right now for the most part. But all right, let's jump in here to the Big Ten. We got a flashy conference this week, but we're going to break it into two since these teams are worthy of a discussion. Quick look at the futures for this conference. Ohio State +100. Michigan +200, Wisconsin 10-1, Penn State 16, Huskers 18, Iowa 23, Michigan State 30, Indiana 42, Minnesota 42, Northwestern 42, Purdue 42, the Terps 150-1, and Illinois 250-1. And Mark, the Big Ten East, this is the, I used this expression earlier in the day, but this is like the old school Wendy's commercial. This is the division in the Big Ten with the beef. Where's the beef? In the Big Ten East.
Exactly. The beef lies in the East in the Big Ten Conference this year. And when we talk about the West next week, we're going to open up and talk and preface it about that's going to be a wide open conference, and any one of six teams can win the West. In the East here, we've got maybe three teams arguably you can make a case for, but there's all the talent in the conference residing in the East this year.
All right, so Ryan Day takes over for Urban Meyer. They bring in Georgia transfer quarterback Justin Fields, replaces Dwayne Haskins. It's just been a seamless transition. Of course, Haskins, JT Barrett into Haskins. But listen, I think Urban Meyer is pretty much a terrible person. But he was a hell of a football coach. And I just don't see how the transition continues this smooth. I mean, a lot of people said the same thing about Bob Stoops and Oklahoma when Lincoln Riley took over. But what's your take here, Mark? I mean, you look at Ohio State and then you look at Michigan. And like this year, it seems to me that Michigan legitimately is the team to beat in this division and in this conference. But let's start off with Ohio State. Are they worthy favorites at +100?
I think they're name and reputation favorites this year, Gabe. And, the point being that, as you said, Urban Meyer is no longer there. It puts big, big shoes for Ryan Day to have to fill in this first year with the program here. And I think what's going to end up hurting Ohio State, and you can mark this down, is this year was the first year in the last past the Urban Meyer era that Ohio State was not in the top five in college football recruiting. They fell out of the top 10 for the first time since 2010. They're number 14 in recruiting in the offseason here this year. Meyer's not there to reel in these 4- and 5-star prospects here. Ryan Day has to do it, and he didn't do the job this offseason here. Now, will it show this year? Maybe not as much as I think it will next football season here, but I can see Ohio State going backwards this football season here. I've got them. I'm playing under 10.5 wins with them, and I don't think they're going to win this division.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I agree with you 100%, Gabe. I think the Wolverines and Harbaugh, it's now or never. It's their time to win. But, Mark, I'll let Gabe talk to you about Michigan. I'm going to go with Old Sparty, the team that he doesn't like. But I think it's a team we're going to be playing on a lot this year, the number one ranked defense in the land. They have returning starters. The question with the Spartans last year, despite the good field position, Mark, that offense was pitiful. They got to get better. But, man, that defense is lights out. They played some very tough competition. Maybe Sparty's a play-on team, Mark. I really like them on the defensive side of the ball.
I like them real well, too, Cam. You take a look at, they're the number one team in the country in rush defense last year. It's what Mark D'Antonio is all about, his defense. Last year, his quarterback, Brian Lewerke, was hurt. He's going to be a fifth-year senior. If he's healthy, that'll be a huge, huge boost to this offense this football season here. And what I really, really like about this football team, aside from being strong with returning starters this year, if you go back and you look at Mark D'Antonio and what he's done in seasons after his teams have won 7 or less games, they bounce back the following season and they've gone 9-4, 11-2, 13-1, and 10-3. That's an average of 9.5 wins per season here. I think Michigan State is a real buy team this football season here, and I think they'll challenge in the East as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I don't like them, but they're going to have a real big chip on their shoulder this year, Mark. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be one of these Spartan players in practice leading up to the season here, because it was an embarrassing year last year. There was off-field turmoil. I think that the overall situation at Michigan State, starting with Larry Nassar and Izzo, like the entire school was under a microscope. They didn't handle it well. They're a bunch of sleazeballs. Let's just be real, as far as the administration there is concerned. But he's a good coach, and they were embarrassed last year. Yeah, they were embarrassed last year. 16 returning starters as well for the Michigan State Spartans. Massive numbers. I don't think they're going to win, but holy crap, Mark. It's almost unfathomable to see Michigan State with 30-1 to win the conference next to their name.
Crazy.
That's like being at a horse race, a stakes race, guys, and you've got a horse like Michigan State in the Preakness at 30-1. You're going to make a case for that kind of a horse just because of his pedigree in the jockey being Mark D'Antonio here, making that parallel. But they warrant a look here at 30-1. There's no question about that.
All right, we'll take a quick break. On the other side, we'll take a look at the Michigan Wolverines. And I'm not saying Harbaugh's job is on the line.
Close.
But the whispers will get louder if they're unable to, quite frankly, win the Big Ten and beat Ohio State. And if you beat Ohio State and you win the Big Ten, you'll be in the playoffs. So we'll break this down more on the other side. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Put your money where your mouth is and take a shot at opening a sports wagering account with FanDuel, New Jersey's largest sportsbook. Go to FanDuel.com/grid. Get a free bet up to $500. A free bet up to $500 when you open up a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. Point spreads, game totals, props, parlays, and in-game wagering on college and pro sports, and you're in control. Go to FanDuel.com, open up a new account, and claim a free $500 bonus today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over only. New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See the website for details.
Thank you very much, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Mark Lawrence with us. We're talking Big Ten football right now. Let's get into the Michigan Wolverines, +200 to win the Big Ten this year. We talked about Ohio State. Of course, Urban Meyer's no longer there. Fields is in at quarterback. Right now, but Shea Patterson returns for the Michigan Wolverines. And you talked about recruiting, Mark, and how, they took a step back without Urban Meyer there. That'll catch up in a year or two, as we see. One thing that Michigan have done a good job of, Harbaugh's done a great job of, is recruiting. Yet it's never been perfectly aligned as far as, like, stacked on both sides of the football. The deepest team that he had was 2 years ago, if you guys recall, when they had like 13 guys drafted, right? And it was a very good football team. Then everyone was on Harbaugh, but he's had a really young team. Now this team, Mark, has some experience right now. They lose Chris Evans at running back for the year, which is too bad. But running back is a replaceable position. But on the defensive side of the football, the offensive line, the wide receivers, great skill position players Michigan have. And what I like about this, they bring in a new offensive coordinator right now. They're going to spread the field. They're going to run a more spread. Now, we've heard this before, Mark and Cam, from Harbaugh before, about, because let's stick with Harbaugh. It's like he brings a knife to a gunfight, Cam. I remember last year we played Notre Dame. The season starts. First three plays in a game, we run the ball up the middle and punt the ball.
Yep.
Their first play in the game was a reverse bomb for a touchdown. Next thing you know, we were playing catch-up all night.
Exactly.
Right? And in the second half, we came back, but it was too little too late. Mark, Harbaugh has to open up the playbook a little bit, and they're doing that. They brought in the guy from Alabama, which I really like.
Yeah, that's been the problem with this Michigan football team under Jim Harbaugh, if you will. Look at what Harbaugh has done defensively with this team. Not one Michigan team since he's been there has allowed 300 yards a game a season. They're a sub-300 defense all 4 years for this team. They just sputter offensively. And what they've done, as you mentioned, in this particular year, Gabe, is they brought in Josh Gattis. He was the offensive coordinator at Alabama. And he's going to completely open this offense up. He's going to go up-tempo, no huddle, what they call a run-pass option offense. Yeah. Yes, and it's going to really, really benefit this football team, especially offensively this year.
His theme, Mark, is speed in space. Speed in space. You know what I mean? Like he's got. He said, "We have speed. We've got to use it, guys." Right? And you do have some real good playmakers on Michigan that were just handcuffed, man, in past years. So you know, look at Ohio State. That's why they've been so good. They air it out, right? It's not just even Alabama. I remember Lane Kiffin said that Saban doesn't like half the play calls that I make, but he understands you can't just run the ball every play anymore, right? And you can't recruit if you do that, too. Kids will get bored, and they'll say, oh, whatever. If you're a good wide receiver, what's the point of going to Michigan and they never throw it to you, right? So, yeah, speed and space, Mark, and they've got some talent. So are you high on this Michigan team?
I think this Michigan team wins the East Division this year. You got Shea Patterson, who was really, really lauded when he was transferred over here, but he struggled, and he struggled largely because you take a look. My goodness, this will be a sixth college football team with six different offensive coordinators. So I'll give him a pass, and I'll give him a mulligan on that. Now he's 2 years with Michigan here with this offense that he's going to like and he's going to thrive in here. I make Michigan the team to beat in the Big Ten this year.
Schedule is tricky but manageable.
It is manageable, Gabe, and I'm with Michigan too. I think they're going to get it done. I think Ohio State's going to regress this year. And here's another team who's not going to win and regress, Mark. I really like what you said about Penn State. They got some serious problems. Trace McSorley's gone. Tommy Stevens is in. He's not the same type of quarterback. They also play 8 bowl opponents. This is a very, very bad situation. A lot of underclassmen. These guys went to the NFL. Penn State is not the same old Penn State Nittany Lions, Mark. This looks like a program that's really going to get beat down, and some early losses can really make things rough for them this year.
We saw the first crack of that last year, Cam, when they went backwards offensively and defensively when Saquon Barkley had departed for the NFL. Now Trace McSorley's gone. So those are their two biggest weapons that James Franklin built his tenure on at Penn State with. Now he's suddenly going to have to coach football games and win football games, and I just don't feel he's capable of doing that. And when I say that, there's a great stat in the playbook about James Franklin when he's on the road in his career in conference games against opponents with a 666 or better record, he is 2-11 straight up and 1-12 to the spread. The better the opponent, the more he chokes. And I think this is going to be a big, strong conference this year. I think the Big Ten might be the second best conference in all of the Power Fives this year. I think Penn State is going to continue to swirl backwards.
That's an unbelievable stat there. 2-11 straight up and 1-12 against the spread away in his career, Grinch, greater than 0.666. Conference opponent. You mentioned they lose McSorley, who was, a hell of an athlete, their spiritual leader, quarterback. Saquon Barkley's now the New York Giants. And, Miles Sanders, very talented. It was almost like Saquon Light, per se. Very good running back. I like this kid a lot. You're not going to be able to just keep replacing these guys like this. I don't know, Cam, if they have another Miles Sanders coming in. And they were only okay with him last year, a 9-4 football team. I think Michigan can handle them, and they've got them on the schedule. All right, Mark, let's talk about a team that in my backyard here that I went to see them play once, and they covered the point spread because they get so many freaking points. Let's talk about the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Rutgers. Yeah. Now, we know that the Rutgers basketball program is going in the right direction, but what about this football team, Mark?
Well, we called it ashes to ashes, and I think it could be the final ash for Rutgers this year under Chris Ash. He's really got his hands full. He's handcuffed. He can't do a lot, especially with recruiting in this conference here. He's also recruiting against other teams in the East Coast Conference, not doing all that well that way. And I think the bottom line to Rutgers is this. If you look at Chris Ash, what he's done away from home with Rutgers, he's 1-16 straight up by an average loss of more than 28 points a game. you cannot take out on the road and not have any expectancy or belief that you think you can win a football game. So what that means to this team is they're going to have to win. They're going to have to do their job at home and win some football games at home this year. And it could start well with UMass when they open up against them, but then they're going to get into Big Ten play. They got Boston College. It's, you know, they're going to be a home dog to them, and they're going to be home dog in every other game. They'll beat Liberty, perhaps, at home. I give them two wins this season, and it's RIP, Chris Ash.
Wow.
Perhaps.
Dust to dust. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. Maryland. Maryland, Mike Locksley takes over for the Terps, and this is a program that's been marred by not scandal, but by tragedy. And so they have a new coaching staff in here. I thought these kids on the Terps actually showed a lot of heart last year. Considering,
I agree.
Like, Fred died in front of them.
Should have beat Ohio State that game.
Like, yeah,
they battled
a couple of occasions in tough,
sure did. They could have mailed it in
last year.
True.
What do you think of the Terps, Mark?
Well, you know, I think it was a great hire for Mike Locksley to come in here. They needed to make that change. There's no question about that. They had to get rid of that stench that was around the program. He's a great hire coming in here right now from Alabama, offensive coordinator, wide receiver coach, so he'll put some spark in the offense here. He's bringing John Hoke in as a defensive coordinator. He's got 40 years of experience, a lot of it with Tampa Bay and the National.
A butt coming. It sounds like there's a big butt coming, but, and I see Mark in the playbook, but 52.1% of the starts last year were made by seniors. That's why they were so gritty.
There you go. And you have to replace those seniors this year, okay? Now suddenly you're back to square one, which means Loxley's in a total rebuild mode here for Maryland. That given the case, this will be a feel-out football season here this year. I don't think they'll win the five games they did last year. But I think look down the road 2 or 3 years, he'll prove to be a good hire for this team. But we won't see it this year.
Maryland, Cam, one of these teams that you will like for the playbook. The Terps are 0-11 straight up and against the spread following a win from Game 7 out. You know, one of these teams that will win a few early games. Who didn't we hit? We didn't hit the Hoosiers here in India as well in the East, guys.
I was going to also ask Mark about Iowa. You talk about Kirk Ferentz has got coaching gig for life. They lose both of their tight end, though, Gabe. Hawkerson and Fant, both first-round picks in the NFL, but Nate Stanley in the offense. I don't know what to make of Iowa. Mark, tell us about the Hawkeyes. They're a very, very good program, but just they always fall a little bit of short, but they lost a lot of quality guys to the NFL.
Well, they did, and, you know, it's Kirk Ferentz, you know, the longest tenured coach in the conference. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more in depth about them next week, Cam, when we tour
the
West Division.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're right. We're doing East today. Gabe.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm looking at Big Ten West.
Illinois.
Yeah, I should have stopped
Indiana.
Illinois. Put the brakes on.
Thanks, Cam. So, Mark, as I was saying, Indiana.
Sorry, guys.
We didn't get to Indiana in the East and the Hoosiers here. Mark, what's your take on Indiana?
I'm a big Tom Allen fan. I like the hire and when they elevated him to a head coach. The players really rally around him. He's a really good human being as a person here. The problem is the last 2 years they've had losing football seasons here, which means he's likely on the hot seat once again this year. And he's going to have to step things up. I think he brings in a really great offensive coordinator here. Kalen DeBoer comes over from Fresno State, and he's the Kalen DeBoer that helped Fresno State to 12 wins as an offensive coordinator. I think that boost is going to help this offense, this football team here. And in our magazine here, Gabe, we talk about returning production that's coming back.
Yeah.
That's a key stat from Bill Conley. You know, he was nice enough to loan those to me, and I put them in the magazine this year. They are the 12th most deepest team with returning production in the country this year is Indiana. So I think the combination of that returning production they've got, this new offensive coordinator, and Tom Allen rallying around, I think Indiana gets back to a bowl this season.
There's something about Indiana as well in which you can just see their confidence level has grown over the years, this program. It's, Mark, college football, and Cam, I don't know if you guys realize this, but college football starts earlier this year than I'm not going to say ever has, but right up there, man.
Feels that way.
I remember years ago, Penn State played Arizona, the Desert Swarm days, that defense, Desert Swarm. And I think that was like August 26. I remember going to see the kickoff classic in L.A., Tennessee and Colorado. I think that was like August 31st or something. But, Mark, we got Miami and the Florida Gators on August 24th this year.
We've also got Hawaii and Arizona on the 24th, and that's a game you and I will
give
probably
you the over
be
in that game.
Well, I'll take the point. You can have the over, okay? We'll probably be out in Vegas for the Superbook weekend, that particular weekend, and I'll be first in line for Hawaii. I'll be making a play to them. They're very, very experienced football team coming back this year. A ton of returning starters, a ton of experience, a double-digit home dog, which is the role they'll relish. And Arizona will go over there stark white looking for suntan lotion, if you will. They'll be burning on the beaches. By the time they put the pads on, I think they'll be a little bit burnt in that football game. I think it could be a good play for Hawaii in the game.
I think
Hawaii won it as a 16 or 18-point dog last time against Colorado State, Mark, or something. They opened up as a double-digit dog and won outright the last time. So dangerous
right.
early.
17-point dog. You're right again. Exactly.
Yeah.
They won the whole
game.
Great. Mark Lawrence already giving us picks for week one. Check it out. Playbook.com. Also available on your mobile device. Playbook.com. Go to the Google App Store as well.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back to live action, fellas. Level one winding down. Get into the baseball card. Thanks to Mark Lawrence for joining us, talking some college football. We'll get into the baseball. We have a CFL game on tap here this evening. It should be a fun one. I'm actually glad that the total has come down because I like the over. We're 8-3 with our CFL play so far to start the season. And speaking of betting, for the first time in American history, a state other than Nevada led the way in sports gambling. New Jersey sportsbooks took in $318 million, $318.9 million in bets in the month of May, while Nevada sportsbooks took in $317.4 million in the month away. According to figures ESPN obtained from the state's gaming commissions, it is the first time that a state other than Nevada has had more sports wagering. Wow. They're not even 1 year into full legalization, Cam. And they've already overtaken Nevada. And it's quite an accomplishment, actually, because Nevada, you know, it's different, New Jersey, Nevada, et cetera, but Nevada has a hell of a lot more options, Cam. Like, there's only 14 sports books in the entire state here. You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. There's 14 books in a 10-minute radius in Las Vegas. So, like, the
kudos,
just goes to show
kudos
the handle.
You and the FanDuel, you know? Guys. Yeah, the handle. You said it. You can go anywhere, right? In Vegas, there's a million places to bet. In New Jersey, you go down to the Meadowlands game. Kudos to the people at the network here. And people are going over there to gamble. I'll tell you, a lot of people in the Northeast wager, man. Great numbers. It's only going to grow.
Yeah, I'll show more of the numbers, actually. It's pretty crazy about in-game wagering. It'll blow your mind, Cam, when you find out how much of a percentage their take is from in-game wagering. Game time decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio continues, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Yang. I'm Cam Stewart with your fantasy news update. Some bad news for the New York Yankees. Giancarlo Stanton's second stint with the Bronx Bombers hit another roadblock. The injured New York Yankees outfielder not expected to return to the club until August. This from Yanks GM Brian Cashman. The 29-year-old Stanton placed on the 10-day IR Wednesday after suffering a right knee sprain on a headfirst slide in Tuesday's action versus the Blue Jays. It's his second stint on the IL after he missed more than 2 months with bicep, shoulder, and calf injuries before the latest setback. The four-time All-Star appeared just 9 games this year since being acquired by New York before the 2018 campaign. Hey, lots of live MLB action, fellas. Let's get to it. The Mets in Philadelphia, crazy game. Mets had the lead 3-1 in the ninth. Phillies hit a two-run bomb to tie it, and Gene Segura hit a walk-off three-run jack in the 10th. Phillies come back to beat the Mets 6-3. Texas and Detroit, these Texas Rangers still on fire, now winning on the road. They sweep away Detroit 3-1 the final. Joey Gallo, 2 home runs for the Rangers, numbers 18 and 19. Moreto the win, Turnbull the loss, Kelly picking up save number 11. Milwaukee doubled up Seattle 4-2 the final. Anderson winner, Mike Leake takes the loss, and Josh Hader picks up save number 19 for the Brew Crew. Weird stuff. Houston is struggling. Pittsburgh all over the Astros, 10-0 in the bottom of the ninth inning. Tampa Bay and Minnesota, they're tied at 2, top 10, one out, bases loaded for the Rays. Atlanta and the Cubs, Cubs up 9-7 in the top of 8. Let's take a look at the rest of the board. Most games this afternoon, 7-10 action. Washington, -205 at Miami, total 7.5, Strasburg and Alcantara. 8:40 baseball action, the Dodgers laying 220 at Colorado, 11.5, Bueller versus Lambert. 9:45, Arizona and the San Francisco Giants. Giants now -115, 8.5, Young versus Beattie, 10:07 action. Oakland at the Angels, Halos -65, 9.5. Anderson versus Canning. NBA rumors and reports, too many today. It's absolutely nuts. Hard to keep on track of this stuff. Kawhi Leonard will grant a meeting with the Lakers once free agency begins June 30th. This according to Chris Hayes of Yahoo Sports. The forward also slate to meet the other Los Angeles team, the Clippers, in free agency on July 2nd. It appears the Lakers will be able to make a major signing after all when free agency begins. Anthony Davis is going to waive his $4 million trade kicker in the move. This, according to Woj from ESPN, the decision will now leave the Lakers with $32 million in cap space this offseason, enabling them to sign a max player. They also unloaded a package of 3 players to the Wizards. Still with L.A., LeBron apparently going to give AD his number 23, and no word on LeBron's new number, but number 6 is the favorite. Boston Celtics might have found a replacement for Kyrie Irving. Boston considered the favorite and frontrunner to land the point guard Kemba Walker when free agency kicks off Sunday night. This, according to Woj again, the Celtics will offer Walker a 4-year deal worth $141 million, the max he can receive from any other team other than the Charlotte Hornets. In order to top up the cap space to sign Kemba, Boston can renounce its rights to restricted agent Terry Rozier. According to Woj, Rozier's cap hit to Boston, $9.1 million. Negotiations between Walker and his current team, the Hornets, have hit a stalemate. And, yeah, he was the 9th overall pick from UConn, so he might be going back where it all started. Back in 2011, a first-round 9th overall pick. As for Klay Thompson, he's expected to immediately re-sign with Golden State if offered the 5-year, $190 million max contract when the two sides meet after free agency begins. Thompson suffering an ACL injury in the NBA Finals. He'll likely miss most, or if not all, of next year. A 41.9% three-point shooter. Thompson spotted by TMZ Sports 2 at the Space Jam 2 set, so I don't know what the hell's going on there. L.A. Clippers guard Patrick Beverley set for unrestricted free agency. He's seeking a 3-year deal worth more than $40 million. The Clippers interested in re-signing Beverley, though, while the Mavericks, Lakers, and Bulls, all suitors, according to reports. Women's soccer right now, we got some crazy action going on. The USA plays tomorrow, and right now we have England taking on Norway, and England, big win, 3-0 for the Brits. They get it done over the Norwegians there. Round one of the PGA's Rocket Mortgage Classic from Detroit, Michigan. Nick Lashley, -9 in the clubhouse. Charles Howell and Taylor Gooch, 2 shots back at -7. Dustin Johnson, even par. And Gary Woodland, 4 over there. Ricky Fowler had a pretty good day, -4. He's in contention. Matsuyama, also -4. CFL football tonight, Edmonton at Winnipeg, the Bombers' home opener. They're laying 5.5 in the total down to 56 points. I'm Cam Stewart, everybody. Stay tuned. Gabe Morency hosts Hour 2 of Red Heat and Rage Radio. Thanks to Mark Lawrence for talking Big Ten football with us. We'll talk a little more NBA, MLB, CFL, and everything in between. Stick around. It's Hour 2 of Red Heat and Rage Radio coming up now.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Right.
All right. We're into level two. Let's roll. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Ranger Radio. I'm Gabriel Morenzi, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart throwing it down with us as well. We've got NBA free agency lingering. A lot of lingering going on right now.
Too much lingering. Too much talking. Too much lingering. That's the way. So LeBron, he picks up the phone, calls Kawhi. Come on down. Yeah, we'll set up a meeting with you. This guy should be the commissioner of the league too.
All right. So what else is going on in the NBA?
World of Sports.
Boston.
Oh yeah, they got Kemba Walker.
Boston Celtics.
Kemba Walker.
Yes. Yeah, there's talk about Kemba Walker, but the Boston Celtics have hired Kara Lawson as an assistant coach. I believe she's like the second women's coach that was just hired. There's another woman coach that was just hired recently as well in the NBA. I forget which with what team, but I remember it was like now the second woman coach. Now we have a third woman's coach. Boston Celtics are hiring Kara Lawson. I'm telling you, the NBA will be the first league with a woman head coach.
Yeah.
It's we're still a little ways away. Yeah, there's still a lot of sexism out there. I think Becky Hammon will be the first one. I've sort of thought that Popovich was grooming her, you know, to take over down the road. But the fact is she's really like number three, number four type thing in the order. You know what I'm saying? Of even assistants there. She's a respected assistant, but she's not. You know, we talked about her last year. She turned down the Colorado State job. She would have been the first woman to coach a men's college basketball team. And she turned down the Colorado State job, which I think was a smart move. You're better off being an assistant coach with the San Antonio Spurs than the head coach of Colorado State.
Instead of losing with Colorado State?
Rams. You go from NBA, like, Ritz Carlton's to, like, Laramie, Wyoming. You know what I'm saying? Like, where are we going tonight? We got Wyoming, and then we're going to New Mexico.
It's true. In college, it's a little bit different too, Gabe. I would think when things go well, it's hard with the kids. Yeah, it's better just to do it with the pros. I would agree with that move. Usually, you'd say you'd want to go to Fort Collins for the experience, but I'm with you. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
There's not really a lot. You know what I mean? There's just a lot
just
of
rumors.
Crap going on.
Yeah, a lot of crap. The Kemba Walker thing with the Celtics, I hear, so they're the favorites. We knew that story the other day. My update, Davis waiving the $4 million trade kicker gives the Lakers more money, $32 million of cap space. They're going to try to make a pitch for another player, Patrick Beverley. Bulls interested, Mavericks interested, Lakers, well, why not? The Lakers are interested in everything, Gabe. Hell. And that's basically it right now. It's just a lot of rumors.
One of the rumors I do believe is the Houston Rockets shopping people. And the Rockets are trying to trade Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, and PJ Tucker to try to clear up space to bring in a star player, which is just so ridiculously stupid. Clint Capella's good. How about you use him? hey, that's just me. All right, we'll hit this some more on the other side. Time decision.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Game Time Decisions, Ready for Rage Radio continues. We'll get into tonight's card, but I just saw a story, Cam, that actually I do find interesting. And it's not it is rumors, but it's factual in a sense. So on June 17th, Adam Silver actually had a conference call with NBA executives and owners. And their 75th anniversary season's coming up.
Oh,
in 2 years, I believe. So I like this. And it's going to be an argument. and because it's less, but they want to reduce. I love it. Like, this is, it's ballsy as hell, man. When other leagues, like the NFL, it's like, we're going to add two more games. God, no. You and I know, bro, we're CFL fans. It's too long. You can't have a 20-week football season. It's too long. It devalues it. You guys, 18 games, I'm telling you guys, suddenly when the Bills lose and your favorite team loses, the Packers, it doesn't mean as much. It's like, ah, whatever. Yeah, we're 2-2. There's 14 more games left. It devalues it. All right? So the NBA are in discussions. Now, they're stating that it's going to take like a year or two to do this, but they're aiming for their 75th anniversary. A reduction in the 82-game regular season schedule, in an extreme measure, the term and the number, and I'm even blown away by this, 58.
That's crazy.
58 games.
I was thinking
there's
maybe
no way
at the best.
There's
me too. Yeah, no, 58
like,
is too
there's
low.
No way. Like, whoa.
How
like,
about
even me?
We started
even me as a
65?
Fan, Cam. I'm like, whoa. Let's 70? Slow down here. 58 games.
Yeah,
like,
that's the thing was, Gabe, is you, and I know I read the article too. Talk about the midseason, the less games, midseason tournament, winner of the play-in game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I like your bold. I'm with you though. It is bold as hell. Like, I got to give Silver a lot of credit. Like, I hate the way this free agency is. I hate the way the players want to, you know, create dream teams. But as a commissioner of the league, Silver does a kick-ass job. He thinks outside the box and he listens.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things.
Silver,
I don't think it's going to happen.
Silver,
I don't think it's
going to
happen, but it's a good start.
No, good start. No, but I like the look. LeBron James brought this up. The players brought this up when the they brought this up during that strike year when they played 51 games. And really, it was like the best basketball ever. Like, it really was. Like, they played every couple of nights, and it was high level. No one really rested too much. You know what I mean? Because that's a thing. You know, and Kawhi Leonard actually almost is a part of this, that they brought it up. They're like, look, Kawhi Leonard didn't play 22 games. How many? You know how many teams are going to copy that this year, Cam?
A million.
Like, they're not even going to bitch about it. Like, people won't even bitch.
Yeah,
it'll be like, wait, no, look, Kawhi did, you know what I mean? Hey, you need him fresh for the playoffs. It's going to be accepted. Yeah, it's accepted now. So it's not like I want my money back. It's like, well, you know what I mean? And it's a fact. Kawhi Leonard had more energy than other players in the playoffs. He did. It was
it's
an
true,
advantage. Greek Freak was tired. You know what I mean?
He was. And you bring up good points. And I didn't really like the load management idea at the start on this air. We've criticized it on the show. I have. But the one bottom line is the longer you go in the playoffs, the more you're going to get tired. It's a war. It's a grind. And it's true. At the end, Greek Freak ran out of gas. And it was evident. Against the Raptors, he wasn't the same player. So, yeah, you're right. This is part of the new norm now. Everyone's going to do it. You're a star player. Don't expect these guys playing every night. It's load management time. Especially like on these long road trips and stuff, Gabe, we're going to see it all the time.
It said the number of games in a reduced regular season discussed on the conference call range from 58 and up. 58 ensures that every team would host everybody at least once. Even me, I'm with you, Cam. I'd say let's go from 82 to 72.
I was going to say
you know
even
I mean?
70.
They're not extreme.
70,
yeah, like 70, okay. But, okay. The players ain't taking less money. And it's tough to gauge, you know, to get more and more money out of the fans all the time. But this is where this stuff comes in, and it would be a revenue maker. Hell, I would want to go. I'd be in if I was around, if I was in the city. The deal is, so they want to have sort of like a around Christmas, instead of just their Christmas day games, they're going to have a Christmas tournament type of thing. So you win a cup. So you get sort of, hey, you know what I mean? You won the NBA holiday cup or whatever. You know what I mean? So sort of like a tournament with like, you know, select teams, which, you know, would generate revenue. And I'm not a massive fan of this, but that what they want to do is at the end of the year, take the last few teams that missed the playoffs and that they have a tournament to get in. That's money
like
you
that.
Get back from the TV networks, from the games you missed. And you could charge a little more. You could get sponsorship for it. Oh, yeah. Come on, Cam. We all bitch about it, but, you know, we'd be breaking it down big time betting on it. Man, it's the tournament tonight.
Would.
The Clippers, the Grizzlies, this. Someone gets in the playoffs tonight. Like, people would go batshit crazy for that, bro.
I'm for it. And I think doing bold moves and changing is a part of
just imagine,
you know,
like the commercial
of the lead moving forward.
Don't miss,
you know,
the Orlando Magic and the Brooklyn Nets for the 8th and final playoff spot. The tournament begins. Like, you know what I mean?
I like it.
They sort
like
of want, like,
before,
yeah, part March Madness. They want to get that sort of tournament feel going a bit, you know?
I didn't like it at the end of the season, you know? The race, it wasn't as exciting as it needs to be. When you have this type of scenario, it'll get you in more, kind of like a wild card game. One team gets in, the other one beat it, like, type of thing, and I like that. Sports is changing. It's evolving, Gabe. It's what we talk about with, you know, their daily roto numbers and betting and everything. Hey, if you're not adjusting, you're staying stationary and things are going to change. I like it. I like the way the NBA does things. They're willing to take ballsy moves and try things. I think personally the NHL needs to do something like this. Their season over time, having hockey games in 100-degree weather and stuff, it's a real problem, but they won't do that. Good on the
but
NBA.
It makes sometimes less is more, right?
I agree.
Sometimes
I agree less is more almost all the time.
It could make the property worth more. And it says here, the advocates for change believe that the robust revenue generated from new products, such as the play-in tournament and mid-season cup, would generate and recoup more than generate and more than recoup the losses that would be reduced in a traditional regular season games. The other argument is that it's such a competitive entertainment marketplace that they'd be better off not being on as much as they are, and it would be more demand for the product, and the product would be better. So it's interesting. And they're not going to go to 58, but a reduction is definitely the way to go. More isn't always better. I mean, you know what a classic example is, Cam? And you would figure, man, you people would watch NFL football 365, bro. They always say, oh, NFL, any. No. Thursday night football sucks, all right? The ratings suck. Nobody cares.
You watch
players
it.
Don't like it.
We're hardcore.
Yeah, we bet on it.
And guys get hurt. You've seen it.
We bet on it.
Ever since, yeah. Well, when NFL football on Thursdays was introduced, they had empirical data to say players got hurt more, athletes are creatures of habit, and it was a very, very bad vibe a lot of the time. The coaches hated it. Everyone hated it. The home team had a significant advantage. It was a problem. That's the way the NFL is, though. I love the NFL product. You know, we're into it, Gabe. But Roger Goodell and his goons and his boardroom guys are way less creative than they need to be in comparison to Silver and his gang. The NBA is always their thinking is always forward thinking. They're ahead of the game. The NFL needs a lot of work. I'm with you. I think
the NBA thinks 10 years ahead, man.
They do. They're smart.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like they think, all right, what's the future hold, right? Like, that's what they're not.
They don't wait.
Stuck in this.
They don't wait and react. They do it.
Like, yeah, look at the NBA. The NBA wants gambling in their arenas, right? Like, the NBA is, like, very, you know,
proactive.
Now-ish. Like you said, like, who's going to be, you know, the NFL makes money just because their ratings are big and they have such a large catalog of programming, right? It's a lot of games. They eat up a lot of hours.
Their fantasy, NFL fantasy is huge too, just the way the season
is. I was going to say NBA.
You know?
Yes, exactly. I was going to say the NBA. You know what, though? And I was talking about this yesterday, actually, to bring in the conference that we were at yesterday. So I'm sitting there with the chief officer of the NHL. We're talking like the business of gaming and stuff. And you look at fantasy football and how much it drives the popularity of football and gambling.
Huge.
Yep. About 75%, though. Like 25% beer drinking guy that just is a Bears fan. God bless him. But really, it's betting fantasy football. Well, hit this on the other side. Why there's so much room for growth for my pocket right now.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
$5.25, Yang.
Wow. Game time decision. Red Heat and Rage, our radio. Yang has to go to the restroom.
Yeah, 525. Yeah, he's as predictable as an all-brand diet, Gabe. Just give him some Metamucil.
They got the AC blowing on in here, man. I'm a little older, you know, so like when the AC blowing and stuff, you know, I start getting the chills a little bit.
That's right, Yang. Once those
AC
brooms
makes
hit,
you know, go to the bathroom.
You get that feeling in your stomach, and he has to go for a walk.
But you're so conditioned. How come you don't condition yourself to go to the bathroom at 7 o'clock?
Good point, like us.
But because prior to me coming in, I'm drinking liquids, you know, having a little food. You know,
I know,
so
but
sometimes
you know,
that kind of gets processed.
I'm holding it in my gut because after 7 o'clock, Mike, the toilet has no chance. I win.
If you just held it in like every day for the next few days, you'll get used to it. Then you can just go at 7.
Yeah. I could try, but today I got to go.
We're joking. Yeah.
All right, Grab. No, no, we understand.
But
it's all right. Your grandfather, like, yeah.
We call him Metamucil, Gabe. He's got to go. Paulie Prunes.
Yeah, DJ Metamucil.
DJ Metamucil. That's right. Good times.
That's why Yang can't eat anything anymore. He can't handle it, man. The guy's right to the bathroom.
Like, yeah. Oh God, if he ate a cheese pizza, he couldn't take a dump for like 4 days. You're right, Gabe. But his body's training. Me and you, on the other hand, it's just, it's different. Very different.
Yeah. My stomach has the same name as the arena in New Mexico, the pit.
The pit. Exactly. I just love how Yang, every day it's the same time. But we'll see if he does it at 5:25 tomorrow, Gabe.
I know.
We'll see.
Yeah. It's his daily. No, he will. It's his daily. I like how he took it seriously that I'm telling him, just wait till 7.
We're cracking jokes. He's like, hey, settle down. It's like, dude, we're just joking. Have a Metamucil, pop some prunes, you know, let her go.
No. As much as I would say, hey, you know, wait till after that. I think there's probably like worker laws, labor laws and stuff. You can't
You can't tell them not to go to the can. That's true.
We should tell them though, sort of like NASCAR. I don't know, go in a bottle or adult depends. Yeah, adult depends. Get the suit.
Put those diapers on and go at it.
So, I was talking about New Jersey passing. New Jersey passed Nevada, at least for 1 month. Mm-hmm. But whatever, it goes to show the power of sports betting and the ridiculousness that the state of New York hasn't legalized this stuff yet. Cam, they took in $318 million in the month of May, which is pretty much, let's call it out for what it is, that's the NBA playoffs, the month of May, right? That's the heart and soul of the NBA playoffs.
Good call.
Leading into the finals, which started June 1st. So, but it's the heart and soul of the NBA playoffs. So a very successful month with the NBA playoffs, $318 million, nearly $319 million, $318,900,000. How much percent of that action do you think is live in-game wagering?
Out of that number?
Even the way I've worded it, you're going to go on the high side.
It's going to be... Yeah, I am going to go on the high side, but
what do you think? Like, what did you think? And all kidding aside, like, how popular is in-game wagering?
I know it's popular.
More popular than I thought. It's more popular than I thought.
And these are for people that have the app and such too. Well, in-game wagering is a great tool for people who don't just gamble. Like, it's their lives. Like, they're doing it a lot of part of the day. Me and you do it during baseball games, football games. We in-game wager all the time. I'm gonna say 63%.
Good guess. Close, but higher even. 80%.
That's nuts. Like, I went higher. Yeah. Like that. So you're telling me, make an initial bet, 8 out of 10. Wow. People. I don't even know what to say. That is astronomical. 63% would be crazy high end.
Think about that. Only 20% of the action is on who's going to win the game before it starts.
Weird. Wow, that's fascinating. Probably only gonna get higher too. It's probably only gonna get higher.
Yeah, like in game is where it's at. That's why in game options. That's why they're always looking for more props and more ways to keep you engaged in game.
It's great for the book too. And if you look at in game, a lot of the time, like say you have a line that's say you go to your book, and I've noticed this with in game too. It's 110, 110, Gabe. once the game starts, 124-124, like, you're not an idiot. You do this show every night, and you've seen the way they do pick 'em juice and stuff. Like, it is a license to print money. So not only that, it tells you that the customer loves to play and is basically like right into it, you know, they'll do anything. The company's sitting back and going, wow, this is great. We love in-game wagering. We charge them a bigger VIG.
80%. And I tell you, man, $318 million is quite a lot of money in a non-football month.
Listen to this, Gabe. You live there now. So I'm Governor Cuomo's brother, works at CNN. And you were sitting there. Hey, Governor Cuomo. Hey, guys, have you seen the numbers from New Jersey and the sports gambling? What? $3 million? Like, you're New York.
Like, oh, 300.
To me, it's just, sorry, 300. That's what I meant to say. 300. That is fiscally irresponsible that you're not legalizing gambling. Like, what are you doing? Think of the infrastructure, the things that you can do with $300+ million. It's actually a crime, in my opinion, that it's not legal. Like, what are you doing? New Jersey must be loving this. Say, thank you. This is great. Thanks.
Yeah, it actually is ridiculous that
it's
New
so
York
stupid.
Just holds over for them like this. Yet, get this. So, New York, and this is only, I don't know, man, New York, it's hard to describe the bureaucracy here. I can't explain it. It's going to be legal in upstate New York only, which is kind of ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah. Like, how many people live in
native
the core?
So, so maybe Seneca is one of them, but I don't think so. Because
I saw
the list of the casinos.
No,
I'm not sure. I don't think
maybe
so.
You're right. Because outside of Seneca and Buffalo, then they have the real native casinos. Like when you go to Allegheny. All the other ones out there.
Yeah,
like
Allegheny
Papa John's
has
Smoke
it.
Shop.
Yeah, Allegheny can have it. Way. Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is, you know why? Seneca also doesn't help. Seneca hasn't been paying their dues to the state.
That's a problem.
I don't know if you followed that. Like, like for some reason, there was a loophole in their contract with the state of New York, and they used it. Like, they're supposed to pay, like, money to the state, like, for some of the revenue that they get. They have it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they settled the lawsuit or what would happen, but the Seneca group is not high on the list of, like, Cuomo doesn't like them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
no, yeah.
But the thing is, so Cuomo's, you know, they're going to legalize sports gambling. Yeah. And like, I'll read you the states, the casinos, bro. They're in the middle of freaking nowhere. You might know them, actually. You're pretty good at knowing these random.
I do.
Let's see. What?
Know where they're going to be, Gabe? Like, Olean, they're going to be in all those areas. Like, you get out there, I think, outside of Rochester. I would think some native casinos there. Like, once you get out of, like, real, those areas are going to, they need all the economic help they can get, too. So I think casinos make a total amount of sense there. But, yeah, give me the names. I'll see where we're at.
All right, here it is. Okay, New York State approves limited sports betting. Yeah, so get this. They're going to have no app. And all that, I was talking about 80% of the live of the take is live in game. 83% of it is on the app. So not having the app is almost like ridiculous.
Money.
Yeah, and just like it's pointless.
You're leaving.
That's what the guy FanDuel said in the conference yesterday. He said it's pointless to do this if you don't have the app. All right, so here are the places. The four commercial non-Indian casinos that would be allowed to host sports books: Resorts World in the Catskills in Sullivan County. Del Lago Resort and Casino near Waterloo in the Finger Lakes.
Finger Lakes is way out there, yep.
Do you know Tioga Downs? Binghamton in the Southern Tier.
Binghamton?
And Rivers Casino and Resort in Shenicati.
Shenicati? Oh, boy.
All right, so the other one is the Onietta Nation has been granted. To be located in the Turning Stone Resort Casino in Verona, New York, and the Point Play. You know that place?
I know Verona. Turning Stone. It's big. Yeah. Turning Stone's a big deal, actually. That place has already got money, so that's an interesting one. But to your earlier
Where's Verona, New York?
I think well, the Turning Stone that I know, it's outside of Rochester, but I'll go check out Verona. I hope it may be the same one.
Oh, you know what? It looks like It looks like the Senecas are in.
Perfect.
I think they can't stop the natives. That's what it is. So it's pretty much every native casino. They can't stop them because it says here, the Seneca tribe and Mohawk tribe have not yet announced their sportsbook plans. So they're in. They can do it. But the thing is, they haven't done it yet. Right? They haven't done it yet. Like, no one is, has started doing it because of the federal. It's still illegal federally, technically. But I'm seeing here now, actually, pictures. Yeah, DraftKings has signed a partnership with Lago Resort and Casino near Waterloo in Seneca County.
Yeah, Turning Resorts Stones World. Where they have,
oh, look at
they
this,
have the LPGA Resorts tournament World? There.
They signed a deal with Mr. Green, Bet365.
Nice, nice. Yeah, send me that story, too, by the way. I'd like to read that.
Tioga There's... Down signed with Paddy Power / Betfair, which is FanDuel. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Rivers Casino, Rush Street Gaming, a Chicago-based parent company. Rush Street Gaming. I'll send you the...
I'd like that.
This is from New York, upstate.
But you're right, though. The whole point of the statement that you gave me is no app. It doesn't matter. You'll get some business, but who cares? You got to really capitalize on it.
That you can't bet on Syracuse, guys, here.
Yeah.
No Syracuse game.
Correct.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Spin Radio.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Swing for the Fences playing daily fantasy baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become the 8th Daily Roto lineup optimizer to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament for one of the countless number of people who have won thousands playing DFS. If you're playing MLB DFS and not losing Daily Roto, you're doing it wrong. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount. You'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and the same use of the Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's a 2019 MLB Daily Roto premium package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get a special 10% discount today.
Cam, I almost feel like, am I being punked here? Is this like, it's like a joke? I mean, there's been a lot of talk recently. We're switching gears here, but there's been a lot of talk recently of the WWE and their storylines and how they use their talent, their creative team per se. It's the best way of putting it. They're creative, so Dean Ambrose left. And he really ripped the company pretty hard. He kind of put like Renee in a weird spot because she's a player. She's one of the announcers.
Yes.
But he basically stated that Vince McMahon like is insane. He's like he's lost touch. He's 74 years old. Vince is like delusional. Doesn't really have much input on what's going on, and doesn't really seem to care. Like he's just counting money, and. Like Dean was talking about, or John Moxley, whatever the hell he's called now, was talking about how like some of the storylines were so offensive that he won't repeat them and just the ridiculousness of the characters. And he was going on and on. And there's been a lot of talk about this recently. And Vince has been firing people over the last month or so. He's hearing the criticism. The ratings have been low. So they're looking to shake things up. I get it. So I just saw right now Paul Heyman.
Yeah,
Paul Heyman takes over creative. And I'm thinking, all right, you know, little old school thinking, you know what I mean? Like, but Paul Heyman was in the ECW days, the crazy Philly days. He's old school. You know, Paul Heyman would put on a type of show that you and I would probably like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know if he's the exact guy to run the company now. But, yeah, but not on the mic. He's going to be doing creative now and, like, running.
Well, I know. I'm just saying. my point was saying Paul Heyman was the best because when guys were struggling and stuff, because Brock Lesnar never spoke. Yeah. So Paul Heyman just tears people down. He's hilarious. And by the way, Gabe, the same with the move, Eric Bischoff, part of the old generation. They're both executive directors, him and Paul Heyman. So,
yeah, so
yes, they are going old school.
Yeah, but Paul Heyman, I can understand. Eric Bischoff, like, are they insane? Like, what are they going to bring back Vince Russo now, too? Like, Eric freaking Bischoff. Like, Eric Bischoff doesn't know what he's doing. He didn't know what he was doing then. He was just spending Ted Turner's money. Like, Paul Heyman's respected in the room. You know what I mean? Like, Paul Heyman can hold, like, when the workplaces have, like, the meetings. Don't worry, guys. Everything's okay. No one else is getting fired. And, you know, ratings are great and all that type of stuff. Paul Heyman can have that meeting with people. Eric Bischoff can't. Like, no one respects Eric Bischoff. I'm just amazed that Vince thinks that somehow Eric Bischoff is going to bring some creative genius to the table after all these years. And listen, I'm not a diehard modern. I love wrestling, but I'm not a modern. Like, I couldn't name you more than five guys in the WWE right now. You know what I'm saying?
It's a good point, Gabe.
Yeah, I don't watch it religiously, but I just don't see, even as an outsider, I think it's crazy to make Eric Bischoff in charge of creative, bro. I think
it's going to be excellent for the competition now because the WWE is basically, they're one of those companies sitting on their laurels, right? They're these guys that, they've had it good for long. They're lucky that all these other companies didn't have enough money to make the next move. Now with this new federation and people who are popular going there, Gabe, it's going to set up an old school NWO/WWE ECW thing. And I think that's good for business. You need competition, and this is probably the best thing going. And these guys in the other faction now are thinking, okay, it's on. You know what I mean? They see a little bit of a hole with the WWE, so it's going to be very interesting. I think things are going to get down and dirty. Remember before, during the crazy era they had, you know, suck at the Generation X and all that, when things were really rocking and rolling? I think that's where they want to go. It's going to get a lot more stupid. Some of these plot lines have been horrible, too. It's getting old.
Oh, it's getting old. They push this Becky Lynch chick too much. The man stuff. It's like, God, we get it. All right. You know what I mean? every time I turn it on, I try to watch it. I last like 5 minutes. Like, I actually want to watch it, and I can't last. But it's a good point that you raise, and I think it is true. I mean, look it. You're not bringing in Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff to run the creative to put a show on for 10-year-olds. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like they're going old school. You know what I mean? And what's their next pay-per-view? And the only reason I know this is because I saw the promo for it the other night is Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're realizing that, yeah, this PG stuff's not working. Like, it's
I got to tell you something. Wrestling's weird, Gabe, and I look at it from an economic perspective. Think of this. When the WWE came out with WWE Network and put everything for a fee, it was like, wow, man, amazing. But the one thing when you really, really break it down is wrestling fans who are into it will pay any amount at any time. So it's kind of interesting. The shows and stuff that they have, some of them are good, but some of it also saturates the product, right? It's a very interesting economic model, and I'd like to talk to a lot like people about it because when it first came out, everyone was like, yay. Now it's kind of like, meh, I'm used to it now. You remember how you said less is more? Well, they have more is more, and more is getting less popular.
Well, that's the way of looking. And that goes to Monday Night Raw that people have been saying for years that it should be 2 hours instead of 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yes.
It's too long. And then they have SmackDown on Tuesday and this and that. You're right. I don't know. I get it. It's revenue. But I remember, like, it was a big deal. I used to watch, like, the WWE. And it was just the jabronis on Sunday night from, like, the Connecticut studio. Yeah, and the Leaping Lanny Poffo days. And, like, before the Rock. But, yeah, just those old school Doink the Clown.
Jobbers. And, yeah, they were jobbers.
Yeah, the jobber
guys.
Day. Yeah, it was just, you know, Captain Lou Albino. You know what I mean? And Cyndi Lauper. That sort of era came. And then it was, like, a big deal. Like, wow, Saturday night main event. Remember, like, once a month, Saturday Night Live wouldn't be on. It'd be wrestling instead.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was great.
On NBC Live on Saturday night, like at 11:30 at night, to be like, wow, this is amazing. It's had a night, King Kong Bundy and Hulk Hogan and all those guys in that era. And then, you know, they got their network, and it's sort of like football. Yeah, you like it, but then it gets oversaturated. But I tweeted this out the other day. To me, the number one problem I have with the WWE, and they're not marketing towards me anyways. Like, so I'm not telling them to change for me. But for my liking is the storylines blow. It's just too much talking on the mic and not enough characters and personality with the wrestlers. They're all just ripped dudes and good-looking chicks.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not can't differentiate. Like, remember, there's no one ugly. Like, wrestling's ugly. Like, where's, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, where's the big freak fat guy? Where's some monster?
I want to see Abdullah the Butcher walk out with a big nugget out of his head with four tits, fat hanging off his sides and the back,
and when
Carlos Colon coming in with a microphone in his eye and him stabbing him back in the eye with a fork. And then I want to see crazy stuff. I want to see Mr. Fuji and Kabuki come out with blinding dust. And you're blind. Oh, no. Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man, can't see. Ah, he can't slam John Studd. We got that's the thing about wrestling. It's a joke. Yeah. And there's no blood. The thing is, it's changed. It's changed. Yeah. It's you don't have the problem is
they all look the same.
Managers, it's also management. Managers used to be amazing on the microphone. Slick, one of the best of all time. Charisma. It's like an entertainment product, right? But the entertainment's gone. There's a lot of things that we could talk about wrestling. You talked about it with MMA. And, you know, look what's happened with saturated cards. We got this, that, and the other. Wrestling's the same way, man. And it's one of those things. Once you start making a lot of money, we'll just do this and this and this and this. The hardcores will stick with it, but you lose a lot of fringe fans, which are, you know, kind of important too. But you're right. They don't care about me and you, Gabe. But I miss the more ladies of elegance, more guys on the mic, and more. The problem is they've got rid of blood and violence and foreign objects too, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, well, it looks like I think they'll be bringing it back. I mean,
hope so.
Slowly, gonna have to start to go in that direction. But it's true. Listen, it's not my money, so I don't care. And I'm just telling you, there's going to be a ton of drama now behind backstage, and it'll make it interesting. And you have this new company that's actually pushing them a little bit with their creative. You know, listen, man, wrestling is all about giving the fans what they want. And Vince McMahon and the WWE let the fans take over too much, in my opinion. You know, like you can't wrestle boring, and like the fans
Daniel Bryan.
Everything too much. Yeah, like, oh, let's not like Roman Reigns for the sake of it. And let's judge this person. And let's do like the crowd is like dictating people's careers too much as opposed to shutting up and just enjoying the character in the show. But I get it. The WWE Universe, as they're called. I get it.
Yes.
But the thing is, you've given the fans so much power. The fans are telling you, we don't like what you're showing us now. Right? So like Vince is going to have to go like, because they're a publicly traded company, so it's going to be tough, like, if they get really, like, slutty. You know what I mean? And then, because they're going to cross a line at some point, right? The blood, there's someone's going to say something offensive. Like, it's just, whatever you're like, all right, guys, let's get edgy. Someone's going to take it too far, right? And then, you know, but I really don't think it matters. I think it's sort of like swear words. Oh, you can't swear. Why not? Who doesn't swear?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. We live in this pretend world, and who doesn't swear, right? Like, I bet you the Pope swears. Like, you know, like, who's not swearing? You don't think the Pope's ever dropped an F-bomb before? You know, like, we live in this little world, so I don't think their stocks are going to drop because, oh, they're hitting each other over the head with, like, steel chairs now, or there's thumbtacks everywhere in the ring. But, I don't know, man. It is a change, Cam. Like you said, like, the WWE, Vince is so into this stuff that if there's blood on the mat, like they change the mat like after every match.
I
like there's no blood allowed. Exactly. Like they're very, very like you can't hit someone with a hammer. You can do a chair, but like you work for them, man. They have a long list of rules, bro. You know,
buddy. I know. I got in trouble every episode, every joke you make. Ryback's a set. Oh, Ed Letter and Jimmy Corderas, my friend. He's like, you can't say that. I'm like, why? Okay, because the thing is, when you take your product that seriously too, you're really it's not good for business. You could never criticize anything that they did. You can't have an opinion. It's basically like a cult. Shut up. We know what's good for you. Don't have an opinion. Yeah. Don't think. We're in control. And over time, it's a very dangerous thing.
You're right. And I brought this up the other night, too. I'm glad you brought it up. Is I'm listening to the play-by-play guys, the Corey Graves guy and Ross, and then Renee's there. But basically, it's like the Corey Graves guy's talking the most. And the Ross guy. Yet, they're talking like it's the UFC camp. Excellent technique in jiu-jitsu by Seth Rollins. Oh, it's his conditioning, Mike. And then Renee checks in. Oh, his MMA training is unbelievable. And I'm thinking, guys, it's bullshit. We're watching wrestling. Right? Like, it doesn't work. Like, it's better when the old days with Bobby the Brain Heenan. You know, he picks a side and he's got bad jokes and Jesse Ventura talks about a radius, right? Like,
this guy's a real scumbag, sleazeball. I saw him rip off a kid at a Dairy Queen.
Bobby would be cheering, watch out, he's going to get you, watch out. Like, he'd be cheering for someone. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I miss it too, buddy.
Game time decisions continue.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
I've been about this on Twitter. I haven't talked about it on the shows, but I don't know if you saw this, Cam, in the city of Toronto, they've taken down basketball nets and parks.
Yeah, I loved it. I saw you respond to it. It's funny. And so I wrote, hey, Tori, it's cool when it's your basketball net and stuff like that. And hey, this is what you want. You want the Raptors and the kids to play basketball. Now you're complaining about the sound. Like, come on, people. Like, I wake up every day, Gabe, at 4 o'clock in the morning. I got mockingbirds outside in a tree in my house. They are louder than hell. Like, I don't know how birds make that kind of noise. What am I going to do? Go grab a gun and shoot them? No, you deal with it. That's what you do. Get earplugs. Relax. Some of these people, man, this is a society we live in. Everyone bitches about everything. Just shut up and let the kids play.
You've seen the bird actually flies around out the window sometimes here.
Yeah, I like that.
The angry looking crow. He cruises around.
He's right behind your head.
He hangs out on like the cable wire, like right outside my window. He sleeps there at night, except he doesn't sleep. And I'm thinking too. I'm like, aren't birds supposed to be quiet at night? It's almost like unholy or something. Like, he's like just chirping away in the middle of the night. I'm thinking it's not normal. Like, you should be sleeping. But he's a tough dude. I haven't seen him in a couple of days actually.
I'll tell you something. But I know birds a lot, and ravens and crows are the toughest birds you'll ever deal with. Like, in Yellowknife, ravens are a mysterious bird. Like, when you're drunk walking home, don't look at the raven the wrong way. Bad things are going to happen to you, man. Like, it's just one of those things. It's like they have really weird spirits. Like, be nice to them. Like, don't chuck a rock at a raven or a crow. You'll regret it. Birds are crazy, Gabe. They're really loud in the morning. Like, they get up at like 3-4 a.m. People don't understand. Like, I got a whole flock of them outside of my place. They're louder than hell. They're like dogs. They're really loud. Crows are resilient too.
I sent a couple angry tweets to John Torrey.
Yeah, hey Torrey.
But it's really coming out. It's not Paula Fletcher. It was her ward. Oh. I haven't done it in every The Paula Fletcher. I've never liked that lady.
She bitches about everything.
Yeah, she's a witch. She never shuts up, man.
A politician.